Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
So, will those who are tuning in for the most popular show in the history of television have to suffer through a victory lap from Cam Newton?
Definitely.
Today?
Yeah. A test isn't the word you was looking for there,
the
but
fool's gold is the fool's gold discussion valid at this point after yesterday?
If you're going to say that Drake May was like Josh Allen, that would be a fool's gold version that you saw in the second half.
I wouldn't say that because Buffalo is a good football team, and it was a game that you had an opportunity. You should have won. You didn't. Granted, they played better than you for 60 minutes. But it was a game that you were in and you can win.
But you didn't win it.
Fool's gold to me is more of like when you're good, but then you play against the good team and that good team blows doors on you.
Oh, it's only blows doors.
No, I think fool's gold is that we thought the Patriots were the team that was, you know, going to claim the division and stake, you know, put its stake in the ground as the new beast of the AFC East. And I think yesterday in the first half, we all did that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that second half, the Bills today, I mean, yesterday, we were all outraged that the Bills were favored, right? We all thought that that was kind of crazy. There was a lot of Patriot fans thinking that that was part of the hate. Well, they came here and came back from 21 points down and beat you at Gillette Stadium. You had one completed pass in the fourth quarter. I think that if I'm Cam Newton, I'd take a brief victory lap today.
You would.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but you lost to a good football team. That doesn't show me fool's gold. Fool's gold is when you in a game like that, like I said, where you come out and it's like, all right, let's see what you do against against a good football team, and then that team blows the doors out of you. Go, wait a second,
they did in the second half.
No.
Five straight touchdowns.
No, I understand that, but you went into halftime up 24-7.
It's a 60-minute game.
You blew doors for the first 30 minutes, and then they blew doors for the second 30 minutes.
Well, but you understand what Cam Newton was saying, which was that they had yet to, other than that win in Buffalo, that they had yet to beat a really good football team, and they were unable to do that yesterday, which can...
Yes.
Could cause some concern.
But they did beat the Bills already. Like, I'm with Wiggy on this one. It's not like, okay, yeah, they beat the Dolphins, they beat the Jets, and then all of a sudden they have any type of a difficult game ahead of them, and they get blown out. Like, people thought that they were going to lose against the Bucks. That was a game that was on people's minds as maybe a trap game for the Patriots. Like, I Cam Newton does not make sense to me at all when he brings up the fool's gold. I would not take a victory lap. I think he sounds dumb when he does it.
Yeah, because I would look at it like this, right? I would look at it, and Courtney's right. You went down to Tampa and beat a good football team.
The Bucs are not a good football team. No, just lost to the Falcons.
But when we went against them.
When you beat them, they were a good football team.
We thought it was a good win. In hindsight, it wasn't.
Right. Okay, so the Bucs were fool's gold.
Definitely.
So that's a team that maybe was fool's gold.
Well, no, but I mean, I think it's fair to look at. I don't think anybody's panicking, but it is fair to look and ask the question and go, what do you consider so far, minus the Bills game early in the season? What do they have to show for signature wins against good football teams?
Right. Yesterday was on its way to becoming the true big statement to the NFL. We won the division with 3 weeks to go. We beat the team that won it five straight years head-to-head. We went 2-0 against them. The AFC comes through Foxborough, and instead they peed down their leg.
Well, yeah, you don't have a bunch of signature wins. I would agree with you on that because, unfortunately, the teams that you played this year – haven't been very good.
Well, that's fool's gold.
Right.
Well,
no. Yesterday was a chance to legitimize the season in the eyes of many people, and they failed
but
to do that.
But I think there were a lot of people that felt like the Buffalo Bills were going to win yesterday.
Well, so, they were favored.
Yeah. No, but I'm just saying, like, I know they were favored, but there were people who said, okay, Buffalo could win this game.
But it has nothing to do with blowouts. Like, fool's gold means it looks like it, but it's not it.
No, I think that fool's gold is like you think you're a good team, and then you're really not one. To be in a competitive game against another team in the AFC gold. that's very competitive after beating them the first time around, I think is no indication of them being fool's gold.
You lost that game yesterday.
By 4 points.
Yeah, because of the mistakes that you made. You gave a game away. If you watch that football game, Buffalo, they did beat you. But you gave that football game away. Fool's gold means Buffalo comes in here from the beginning of the game to the end of the game. They curb stomped you. And you're people are like, wait a second.
It's not about blowouts.
That's what it is, though. I don't know what
we have two different like
to me, fool's gold is like, all right, we think this is a good football team. They play a good football team, and then guess what? They get their doors blown off.
I'm going to go around the room. Did yesterday change how you feel about this team, this season, and what they can do in the playoffs?
No.
It did for me a little bit.
Totally.
I've been on early, I think, saying that your expectations can and should change during a season. And I think right up until halftime, I had them getting to the Super Bowl. I don't know if I feel that same way now.
I don't at this point.
But what changed?
Sean, where are you? Hold on.
No, I'm with Wiggy and Courtney. I have not changed my perspective on this team after yesterday's game. I agree. They were competitive with a team that was favored in that game. I thought the Patriots could come in and win. They had a chance to, and they didn't. Like, I don't look at this team any less than I did before the game was played.
I do find it comical that the same people that were bitching about the Bills being favored are now citing it as a reason why it wasn't as good of a loss, or wasn't as bad of a loss.
Yeah. What do you mean?
People up to the game were, I'm not saying you, Shime, I'm saying there were a lot of people that were very angry locally at the disrespect shown by Vegas that the Bills would be favored in Gillette when the Patriots hadn't lost in 80-plus days and they'd already beat them in Buffalo.
Yeah.
And then you're saying, well, it was competitive and whatever. Like, you can't have it both ways.
Well, no. I was upset, like, that the Patriots weren't favored. Like, I'm like, wait a second. You're at home. You already beat this team. Now, granted, I don't think the spread should have been, you know, 5, 5.5, 7, or even 3.5. I think the Patriots should have been favored by 1, you know, whatever that number was that the Buffalo Bills were. I felt like that was a little disrespectful. But I also still felt like the Buffalo Bills are a good football team, and they have Josh Allen. And if you don't play the way you're supposed to play, they'll beat you. So when I look at the remainder of the schedule, you go to Baltimore next week. If you don't come ready to play and do what you're supposed to do, Lamar Jackson can make enough plays in a second half of a game to beat you. If you lose to the Jets in Miami, I'm like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Losing to the Buffalo Bills, it's disappointing, but I don't look at that and go, oh, the Patriots, I look at them completely. Buffalo's a good football team.
Because, like, if you see Buffalo again, you think it's going to be a competitive game, right? You don't think they're going to get blown out and the Patriots are going to have a chance to win?
Yeah.
It should be.
Then I don't see this team any differently.
Yeah.
But you can also go, like, this is the going back and looking at things, you know, post-haste. You can also look at that win earlier in the season for the Patriots and put it all on turnovers by Josh Allen, which are not going to happen all the time. You know,
when
you play Josh Allen in the playoffs, he's not going to turn the ball over 3 times.
I just look at it the way we always looked at things, Greg, as Patriots fans, that the Patriots would own the AFC. And then the Jaguars would beat them in the regular season. And it'd be like, oh, they're going crazy. Then you play them in the playoffs and you win and you laugh at them and say, you won the game that didn't matter.
Yeah.
We're not afraid of you. Bills fans today are laughing at Patriots fans for the premature celebration, thinking that they had the division. And then Josh Allen, out of nowhere, gets 5 straight touchdowns on 5 consecutive drives, and they beat you in Gillette Stadium when you had already printed the shirts for winning the division.
Well, I think they're laughing at you for the being up 24-7 and going, oh, it's over. Patriots are going to win. Like, I mean, there were people who went to social media and did that.
I mean, Matt Collins and Steph Diggs were openly chirping the Bills with their, like, right before the half or right after the half.
Like, I think like, they're, but I think Buffalo Bills fans go, all right, if we got to go into New England, we can beat them. But if Josh Allen doesn't play exceptional, they can beat us. And that's a team that we have to worry about.
I don't think that that loss yesterday made Bills fans or Bills players or Bills coaching staff look at New England as fool's gold or anything less than what they are. And I think that moving forward in a postseason, they're not going to overlook the Patriots. Okay. I think that the Bills kingdom is a group of people that would be worried about New England moving forward.
They would say, get your ish together for 60 minutes, because if the Patriots would have did what they were supposed to do, that game might have been lopsided, right, and the Patriots.
But they didn't.
No,
do
but
that.
that's what I'm saying. But when we look at the second half of this Patriots football team in yesterday's game, that doesn't tell me that they're gonna go and come out and have three drives in the second half where they go three and out, and then they have another drive where they go a little bit longer, but they ultimately punt the football. Like, I don't see them doing that again.
But that is unfortunately what they did.
Right. Yes.
Against the Bills team that they needed to beat to win the division, that they needed to beat to secure home field, that they needed to beat to show everybody that they're not fool's gold, and it unfortunately didn't happen.
And, Greg, look at the AFC this year. No Burrow, no Mahomes. It is wide open. Bo Nix is likely to have home field advantage in the playoffs in the AFC. If you win that game yesterday, if you just get one touchdown other than the Henderson long run in the second half, you win the game, you win the division, and you can start building your roster, whether it's for the bye or the home game that you just clinched, in a way that gets you most ready. Now your margin of error is even smaller, and who knows what the AFC is like next year.
I think in a lot of cases, Wiggy, this is why it's surprising to me, a team that's up 21-0, ends the half up 24-7.
At home. Right.
At home, and is unable to close out, I think you would be all over them. I think you would be questioning that football.
No, I would say you choked that one away.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is.
But if that team, I would say they choked that one away. It's one of those games, like the Pittsburgh Steelers game we talk about. You gave Pittsburgh that football game because of the turnovers. Like, so you can look at a game and say, all right, you choked yesterday's game away. If you play like that again, which I haven't seen them consistently play like that, where they choke games away in the second half, that's why I look at this and I go, okay.
But that was basically a playoff game. Like, I mean, like, let's call it a playoff game.
No, it's not and a playoff game because they got next week to play.
Okay, but there was a lot on the line.
A lot more for the Patriots on the line yesterday.
And that's when they choked it away,
yeah, right?
Which is could be concerning.
Because the Bills aren't likely going to win the division.
No.
The Patriots had a chance to win the division yesterday.
Yeah.
The Bills are going to get in as a wild card no matter what happens.
Right.
And you're at home with that lead and you don't win that game. Patriots fans,
you choke that away. But if Buffalo loses that game, they're on the verge of not being in the playoffs.
They have five losses. They're absolutely still going to be a playoff team.
I said they're on the verge. They would be the seventh seed if they lost that game.
I think if they lost yesterday, they're still a playoff team.
Who do they have left?
They got the Eagles, and then they have, I'll tell you right now.
The Jets.
The
tough
Eagles, Eagles and the Jets. And you got.
They have three games left.
They got Eagles, Jets.
And Browns.
And Browns.
Okay, yeah, they're a playoff team.
Yeah. Yeah. But so are you.
Right.
Yeah. All right. And
nobody's saying they're not, the New England Patriots are not a playoff team.
Right.
But fair to ask if in a moment that was really big for you,
right,
if the fact that you choked it away is an indicator that you may not, we may need to lower our expectations.
So let me ask you the question then. What's more likely to happen? They choke again or they get their ish together, and if they're up 24-7, they hold on to the lead?
Latter.
What are you basing that on? You don't have any body of work.
Well,
to
what
show
are you going to base it off?
With the body of work that I saw yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, all season long, when they've had a lead in the third quarter, they haven't lost the game up until yesterday.
Which was a very good football team they played for the second time this season. Give me another one. I mean,
give you another team that they played that was
another
good.
Another really good football team.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
They're not a good team.
What do you mean?
They didn't even have their top receivers.
Right.
Everybody was worried about that game going into it.
And you're playing down in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, you can look at Baker Mayfield and his injury now and say that they're not a good football team. But back then, if you go back and listen to what we were saying leading up to it, there were a lot of people that were worried about the pass.
Yeah, you were underdogs in that game.
Right.
Yeah, Baker Mayfield was healthy in that game. They didn't have Mike Evans. I give you that. They didn't have Chris Godwin, but... You know, I mean, if we're going to look, all I would say is that yesterday was disappointing because that was a game that you had the opportunity to win. Not only even choking it away, you still had a chance with over 2.5 minutes, 3 timeouts, down 35-31.
Can you explain that drive to me? I'm shocked at how badly they did with that drive. How Drake May looked like there was no urgency. It was bizarre.
So to me, when I look at this football game, if they were to play Buffalo again, I'll say this. Could they lose? Yes, but the game will be competitive, and you will have a chance to win.
But Cam Newton wasn't saying it's fool's gold that they could be competitive. He's saying it was fool's gold that they were a legit Super Bowl contender.
But they are a legit Super Bowl contender.
But what you're saying is all about blowouts. That had nothing to do with the conversation.
No, but when I think of fool's gold...
But I know that's what you think, but that's not what...
But then when he says fool's gold, and I would say for me and most people, when you think, and I don't want to talk for everybody, but when you think of fool's gold, you think of a team that looks really good, plays a good team, and then gets blown out.
Yeah, that's your and I definition of it. The fact that you have a different definition, we're going to see things differently. Yeah,
I
don't know who's right.
I don't see fool's gold as you play well, then you play against a good team.
Santo gets the real
and
stuff.
And it's a competitive game, and you lose. I just look at that like, all right,
If you had to tell me who the class of the AFC is today, is it the Bills or the Patriots? If just those two teams.
If just those two teams?
Yep.
It's the Bills because they have Josh Allen.
Because they have Josh Allen.
Right.
Somebody who's done it before.
If you win that game, it's not the Bills, and that's the difference.
But here's the thing. If you win that game, say you go on and win that football game, and Buffalo comes in here in the playoffs, I don't think people are writing off the Bills.
Nope.
Nobody said writing off, but if you're 2-0 and you beat them at home to win the division with 3 games remaining, then you are absolutely, you have solidified yourself and validated yourself
in
a way.
If they won that football game, totally it different. Would be completely different.
We'd be booking hotels right now.
It would be completely different. The narrative on Drake May, who, you know, was being anointed as the next MVP, that would be different. Like, all of that would be different.
No, I understand that, but what I'm saying is I think when I look at this, I look at yesterday's game, and I say you choked that game away, the narrative would be different if you would have beat the Buffalo Bills. But I would still say if you were playing them in the playoffs and they were coming to New England, I would not count out the Buffalo Bills, even if you beat them twice during the regular season, because the one thing that they have that you don't have is they have Josh Allen, who's proven he can win in the postseason. Your guy is still a rookie and has to prove that. So no matter what it is, even if you beat them, people would still be like, I'm picking Buffalo to win this game because Josh Allen has proven he could do that.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready for a brutal kick in the nuts choke job of a loss, Keith?
No, I don't think I can be ready for that. It's hard to be ready, and I saw it. I saw the whole thing happen. It's like, well, how about a stop? Mix it a stop. Go ahead and stop him. Go, okay, they got you there. Stop him next time. All right, you'll get another shot. Maybe this will be the time you stop him. Nope. Oh, another touchdown? Another touchdown? Yeah, all these, the wins and losses, Jones, they come in all shapes and sizes, right? You'd feel one way about a 35-0 win. You'd feel another way about a 35-0 loss. You would also feel another a certain way about being up 21-0 at home and then losing the game 35-31. So there's a lot of feelings, a lot of emotion mixed into a game. Again, from the way outside, being 11-3, wild. Like, what a season the Patriots have had. But then you take into account, all right, 10-game winning streak, division on the line, you have this big lead, everyone's throwing a party at halftime, and then you lose that game. It is pretty devastating.
I mean, devastating is the right word for it. We spent 2.5 months complimenting the crap out of them,
sure.
And they can play with anybody, and the road to the Super Bowl goes through Foxborough, and why aren't the Patriots favored and all this stuff? Like, this is not a day to take a step back and go, oh, well, I feel pretty good about him being 11-3, and they still split with Buffalo, and they could still win the division. This is not a day for that. Because if you just lost to the Bills, I could maybe explain that away. I could maybe tolerate that. If you just lost 35-31, and you're in the game, and it's competitive, and it's back and forth all day, maybe. They're due for a loss at some point. Buffalo was favored after all. We spent all week complaining about it. The way you lost that game was horrific.
Yeah.
And I don't get trying to spin it or
put
any shine on it. Like, I don't understand that. I don't know how you could possibly do that with the way they lost that game.
Yeah, no, definitely the confidence is shooketh at this point because, if they had just lost 42-0, that's way worse. Don't get me wrong. That's worse than what we saw.
That's true.
It is, right? Because it's like at least you had big runs by Travion Henderson. You had a really impressive first half. You had a good first drive. Drake May looked good in the first half. So there were some positives to take away. But watching the Bills score 5 consecutive touchdowns just had to give everybody deja vu or PTSD of when they played them in the playoffs years ago, and they just scored every single time. Remember the idiot Bills fans were printing the T-shirts that had like their scoring drives because it was every freaking drive? That's what that felt like. And you're like, you have this big lead. You're like, all right, get the ball back. And then you're kind of thinking to yourself, all right, even if you don't score here, just bleed some clock a little bit and then stop them the next time. And it was like, nope, the Bills were just moving right down the field with their group of crap receivers, their below average tight ends, Josh Allen and James Cook moving down the field. And you're like, it felt like all of a sudden this defense just couldn't get a single stop in order to win the game. So that was so frustrating. As high as the highs were in the first half, the lows were even lower there in the second.
So you can talk about it all day long here on Jones and Keefe. It's Patriots Monday. Hunter Henry, Christian Ellis going to join us on the program. We have What Happened from Week 15 coming up at 11:30. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. You can interact on Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. You can watch along in chat, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Always, and I mean always, a healthy chat going on Twitch. Do the same on YouTube. Watch there, subscribe there, just to WEEI. You can also chat on YouTube as well. What happened in the second half, Keith? You just said it. In the loss, they couldn't get any stops.
Yeah.
Josh Allen turned into the Josh Allen that has been an MVP candidate, won the MVP, and I haven't looked at the odds this morning, but I imagine he surged in those odds this morning. Pats couldn't stop him. On top of it, for all the praise for Drake May and Josh McDaniels going on early in that game, the offense evaporated and went poof in the second half. So what happened?
Yeah, I don't know if they thought the game was over. Like, I don't know if, like it's one thing for us as fans to think it was over, and so many people did at the half. They were just running like crazy. And even when the Bills scored that touchdown end of the first half, the Patriots responded and at least went down and kicked the field goal. So they didn't just end with points because you knew the Bills were going to start with the ball in the second half. It just felt like it was over, and Josh Allen turned back into the Josh Allen that we've seen over the last several years. And the Patriots defense just didn't have any answers. And they have given us some evidence throughout the year that the defense maybe not as good as the numbers would show. And they put up a graphic yesterday during the game, and they have the worst touchdown percentage in for defense, right? We talked a lot about the offense not scoring enough touchdowns in the red zone. The defense gives up the highest percentage of touchdowns when they get in the red zone. Now, they don't allow teams in the red zone, right? So they have the graphic right there. They're like, number of times the opponent has been in the red zone, lowest. Most touchdowns allowed percentage, the most. So you're like, all right, they've done a good job of keeping teams outside of the 20-yard line, but when they get in there, they score. And so I look at that as, all right, when a defense needs to get a stop, right? Red zone defense, back against the wall for years and years and years. Patriots.
Bend but don't break.
We heard that for 20
we
straight
heard that
years.
Quite frequently.
But
yeah,
there was some truth to it. Like, they'd give up a bunch of yards, and then they'd force a field goal, or they'd come up with a turnover or whatever in the red zone. This Patriots defense hasn't been able to do it, and they've also gone up against certainly much worse quarterbacks than Josh Allen for the majority of the season. And so it felt like, all right, got to have it stops, got to get off the field stops. Are they capable of it? Sure, they're capable of it, but can they do it consistently? Really, for the season, no. And then now against a good team, they just, the Bills got into a groove, and the Patriots defense had no way of stopping them.
Buffalo ran all over them, so that was a problem. Red zone defense, big time problem. Buffalo scored on five straight possessions, spanning halftime. The Bills yesterday were effectively 5 for 5 in the red zone. They were technically 5 for 6, but the last one was a kneel down
right
at the end of the game.
Yeah, yeah.
So no stops when they get down there. And yeah, I'm fearful of that too, Keith. It's not just Buffalo locked in and Josh Allen's a monster and that's still a good team. I wonder if they started to take it for granted a little bit at halftime.
A little bit.
I certainly did. I was like,
most people did.
I was like, hey, Cam Newton, take the day off. No, no, no. Turns out Cam Newton is there working today, and he should be, and he should be taking a little mini victory lap.
But it was everybody. It was like nationally, people were like, well, it looks like the AFC runs through the Pats now, and blah, blah, blah.
But it's okay for us to do it. We were wrong, and like, I'm not saying I was right about it, but it's okay for us to do it. What are the stakes? Who cares?
Right.
Them? If you do it, that's what happened.
And so it felt like a little bit.
I am fearful it was some of that. Mike Vrabel was asked about the issues in the second half yesterday. Here's what the Patriots head coach had to say.
Just what was the biggest difference that you saw in the first half versus the second
half?
Well,
I mean, we weren't able to get any stops. And, you know, the one when we had an opportunity to make a play, we weren't able to make it. You know, penalties, and that's how this game goes, you know. Few small plays make the difference. We were very prepared for this team. We were going to need 60 minutes to beat this team. This is a good football team, and we had a lot of good football in there. And we had some, you know, a lot of plays that, you know, a few plays that we'd like to have back that we'll have to learn from them.
Okay. You needed 60 minutes. What did you get yesterday? Maybe 30, probably 30.
30, because yeah, at least they responded to the touchdown by going down and kicking a field goal before half. So I'll give them credit for that. But then, yeah, the second half, it just everything fell apart. And if it wasn't for the Travion Henderson second awesome run,
it's one play.
You have nothing.
You had nothing outside
else.
Of one really broken play. And that was an awesome effort
great
by
job
Drake
by him.
May getting down there. A great play by Henderson. Like, I'm not taking the play away.
No, it counts.
Let's look at it. Outside of one broken play, you did nothing in the second half. So
I was
going
to say, the fourth quarter possessions, it was a 13-play, 91-yard drive by the Bills to take the lead. And then Travion Henderson rips off one play. Awesome. One play, though. And then another 7-play, 65-yard drive, and then that's pretty much all the scoring for the rest of the game. But, yeah, extremely frustrating. He mentioned penalties in there, and there were a few, and I think there were penalties, but there were a few times where maybe they could have gotten off the field. And then the penalty, right? Like on defense.
I thought the Carlton Davis one was soft, but whatever. I mean, those happen all the time.
Yeah.
You got the benefit of a bang-bang play early in the game when Kayshon Booty probably didn't catch the football.
Mm-hmm.
So, the Marcus Jones one, everybody's bitching about, like,
I think that's the rule, though.
It's pass interference. Yeah, so, like, whether they caught the ball or intercept, it doesn't matter. The pass interference negates all that.
I don't have any time for the complaining about the refs. I know people want to do that.
No, I mean more of a, not a ref complaint, but more of a,
the penalties
you almost had
down.
A stop. And, you know, some of the time you look at it, you're like, all right, could you have still made the play without holding? Or could you have made the play without interference or whatever else?
So you can jump in there on the penalties if you'd like. 617-779-7937. Mike Vrabel certainly willing to go there this morning. On the Greg Hill Show. Meanwhile, this is Drake May on what happened in that second half.
Drake got off to the 24-7 lead. What sort of changed in the second half offensively that sort of bogged you guys down?
Yeah, we came out of the second half and just got to make a play, pick up the first down. I think that's the biggest thing. It was some throws over which I had back, but at the end of the day, got to keep the foot on the pedal and keep it going and kind of don't let them dictate. And starts with me and starts with with us. We kind of felt like during the week that we had a chance this was going to happen, and just got to keep our foot on the pedal. And happened the first game, they came back. So just got to make a play and do my part when we had the ball and the chance to win the game to go win the game.
Okay, that was disappointing too. Like, they had a chance to go down and do it with 2.5 minutes left,
yeah.
And they did nothing. I mean, four and out.
Right. It's hard to have fourth quarter comebacks, and you're always winning in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And it was pretty amazing when they put up the stat that, like, they hadn't trailed. Was it in the second half or fourth quarter? Definitely fourth quarter, maybe even second half.
Yeah,
it was the fourth quarter.
Okay, they haven't trailed in the fourth quarter since the Pittsburgh game, which was week three and the last game that they lost. So it's like, all right, on the one hand, like, this quarterback hasn't been able to do it because he's never really had the opportunity. So, boom, now you have an opportunity. And in the second half, what they have, like, besides the Travion Henderson 65-yard run, they had, like, 15 yards offense.
You want their
what
drives?
Was the number? Well, no, I have the – I mean, it's like – two drives that went backwards.
Mm-hmm.
Another drive that went, a few yards?
Second half, you went three and out pick, which basically was a punt.
No. The first drive was three and out, but you were a minus 6 yards. So you went backwards. Then you went 7 plays for 23, but it ended in a punt. And so, or interception, which was basically a punt. Then you had Travion Henderson
play. Another three and out.
Minus 7 yards. And then, all right.
Seven!
Game on the line.
I think you got five on the last drive.
North
right?
of the 2-minute drill, and you got 5 yards.
That fourth down play was one of the worst calls I've seen in a while.
You didn't like that one?
Oh, you put that on McDaniels.
If you go back and look at it, there's three people on the left side standing in the exact same spot.
I don't give Josh McDaniels a lot of credit when the offense is rolling. I certainly wasn't early in the game yesterday. You can find him again. The McDaniels mafia was out early in the game. They're like, oh, my God, Josh is in his bag.
Oh, that throwback for 13 yards?
The trick plays that got a combined 20 yards.
Got 13 yards.
I don't know. I mean, May's running. He's hawking the ball down the field to Kayshawn Booty, which maybe wasn't a catch. He's running wild. I guess you can give credit to Josh McDaniels if you want. That kind of looks like May. But I'll be consistent. When the offense goes poof in the second half, I'm not going to cry about McDaniels. Like, I didn't think May was very good.
But are you more steamed at the offense or the defense overall?
Oh, overall the defense.
Same.
I am. But
a horrible second half by the offense, but they had also – the team scored 31 points. Now, I know you can slice it up on how they did it and when they did it and everything else, but really the defense needed a stop. Like, they could have allowed 4 touchdowns and won the game instead of 5.
So I'm looking at my first take television screen over here. I see Cam Newton. I don't see them talking about the Patriots yet.
Cam Newton stole Rose the Hat's lid from Dr. Sleep, it looks like.
That's a suit choice, too.
So
he does look like another Batman villain.
They were talking about this on my drive-in. Like, can Cam take a victory lap today? And was he right about the Patriots being fool's gold?
Well, today is the only day to do it. You better do it now before they rip off 3 more wins.
If Cam doesn't do it today, he doesn't
after
understand.
After they finish talking about the Cowboys.
Yeah, they're going to do Cowboys. They're going to put the Cowboys to bed first.
He doesn't understand how to do media if he doesn't take a victory lap today.
No, today's his day for that.
And he should. Yeah. They have one real win.
Yeah.
And they just lost to that same team. So, like, I don't think they're fool's gold.
You got
to
beat the man twice.
But if you felt that way, I would definitely come in and crow about it. Should we look at the Patriots any differently after this loss?
Yes.
How could you not?
I don't know. They just gave up 5 consecutive touchdown drives.
This was a debate this morning. 60% of the Greg Hill Show was like, no, I don't look at him any differently. It was Wiggy and Courtney and Chime. They're all like, no, I don't. I'm like, how could you
but
not?
How did
they
you
just
not
lost
see
a horrific, it was a horrific home loss yesterday.
Yeah, because I'm not writing off the season. But like, say they had won the game, the second half looked like the first half and they ran away with it. You would have been like, Super Bowl.
Yes.
This team is going to and winning the Super Bowl.
Yes.
That's how we all felt at halftime. So then when the second half goes completely opposite to the point where you end up losing a game where you're up by 21, I don't know how you don't feel different. It doesn't mean they're going to lay down and die. And they're going to lose 3 straight and they're going to lose the division. They're going to win the division. I'm not worried about them losing the AFC East.
Me either.
But I don't feel the same way I did about them. I think some of those like red zone defensive numbers, which may have been masked because teams weren't really in the red zone much, and you played a lot of scrubby quarterbacks, and overall the defensive numbers look good. But now I'm really second-guessing the defense, even more so than the offense. And the offense has their issues as well. We can talk about the receivers and like the production and all that stuff. But the defense has me a little shooketh, considering you're probably going to have to play Josh Allen again and maybe some other good offenses in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, again, I'm with you. They're a playoff team. They should win the division. I'm not telling you they can't still go on a run. But you don't feel any different after that game? How could you
feel
not?
Different. Yeah.
That was horrible yesterday. And it's not just that they lost, it's how they lost. Text line is saying special teams let them down too. That's true. Those Ray Davis returns were just eye-opening.
Oh, he had some good runs. Yeah, good point.
He's been doing that all season, by the way.
Yeah, but still. I didn't.
Why are you kicking to him?
Cover the kicks.
Good question. He didn't do it in the first matchup against them, I can tell you that. Secondarily, people are pointing out they were down Spillane. They've been down Milton Williams. All that's true.
No, Milton Williams will definitely help. I 100% agree with that.
The Bills were down.
Yeah.
They've had a million injuries this year. They were down arguably their best defender yesterday. So, yeah, you were down a couple of guys. So were they.
No, that should help. Milton Williams specifically, even more so than Campbell. And, you know, I saw, obviously, you know, Vidari Lowe had a penalty and whatever, maybe not his best game. But, yeah, I mean, it is what it is. And also, even those guys, there's no guarantee they're going to be back for the playoffs. I know there's, you know, eligible to be back for the playoffs, but we'll see.
Yeah. And what do they look like when they're back?
Yeah.
Like, you don't know they'll be at 100%. So, no, you're up 21-0. I'm not blaming injuries. I'm not blaming refs. I'm not doing that's on you. And I would blame the defense more, but Keith, you're right to say the offense is on the list. Special teams is on the list as well.
Oh, yeah.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, Mr. Barstool, Mr. Portnoy, as someone who has tweeted many things that didn't age well, as they say on the Twitter X app, that little rant didn't age well because the Patriots did not age well yesterday. 24-7 lead at halftime. It was well on its way to a blowout, Nick Fitzy Stevens. Hats and t-shirts were being unboxed and prepared.
Oh, yeah.
And then a funny thing happened on the way to the division crown, the number one seed, the hats, the t-shirts, the blowout, the torch passing. Well, you lost 35-31 because Josh Allen scored touchdowns on five straight drives. And the Patriots defense, the Patriots offense, and the Patriots special teams, they all work together. They all work together really well to give away this football game. And a massive lead that you built turned into a really disappointing but not discouraging loss if you listen to the head coach of the New England Patriots. So let's start there, Fitzy. Let's take the coach's words here on a Patriots Monday on WEEI Afternoon. We will talk to Drake May. We will talk to Marcus Jones. Right now, we're being told those will happen after meetings end around 3:30, somewhere thereafter. And I'm guessing Drake May, who's become a little bit of a parrot, I think I've noticed, I'm guessing at some point he may use the phrase disappointing but not discouraging. Are you okay with that phrase, Fitzy? Was this disappointing but not discouraging?
That only applies after the next game. That can't apply until you actually have more data, more input to provide. Like, you can't say it's disappointing but not discouraging until you prove that you learn from the loss and you can play better, because right now it's both disappointing and discouraging. Like, you should be very disappointed that you lost a football game that you had a big lead in. You should also be discouraged in the fact that you let them score five straight times when boxes of hats and t-shirts were there for you, your staff, and your fans, who were eager to just walk up like the Take My Money meme from Futurama and just throw piles of cash at the pro shop on the way out to the parking lot. This loss is actually sitting worse with me than it was last night when we instantly reacted to it with all 3 hours of Finalysis on the Six Rings postgame show. Like, they should not have lost this game. That second half effort, and your point, I don't think I've been the same fan since you pointed out the Patriots had the ball like 6.5 minutes of the second half. That's really discouraging, especially when you're going up against a team that's been the gold standard and would love to face off against you come January or February.
All right, so we're going to spend the next 4 hours diving into the details of what in the end turned into a little bit of a debacle, certainly over the final 30 minutes of football. Every football coach in America preaches 60 minutes, four quarters. Well, Coach, I can give you like 30 and two quarters. Is that enough in this game? Because that's what you gave Mike Vrabel against the Buffalo Bills. And he preached it all week. We've heard that. He preached it all week. 60 minutes, Josh Allen, it's never over. All of that. But let's start here. 617-779-7937. We would love for you to chime in. How big a deal is this loss? Are you worried? Is it disappointing but not discouraging, or is it flat discouraging? And do you feel like with some of the issues, the red zone, Drake May's inability to have that comeback that J.J. Watt was talking about, inability to be clutched down, are those things that concern you over the next three games and heading into the postseason? 617-779-7937. But let's start right there. I think the most interesting numbers in the NFL game book. And if you're not familiar, there is a paper book that the league puts out with all its stats. If you were watching the video of Mike Vrabel meeting players in the tunnel last night, you also saw Stacey James give Mike Vrabel a copy of the game book, the stat book. So when he goes to the podium for his press conference, he has kind of the numbers in front of him. And Fitzy, you mentioned it. So I'm going to read you the four quarters of time of possession for the New England Patriots. And then for comparison purposes, I'm going to read you the four quarters time of possession for the Buffalo Bills.
All right, let's hear those numbers in order.
And a quick reminder, 15 minutes and a quarter. Just so everybody remembers, you got 15 minutes and a quarter, 30 minutes and a half, 60 minutes in a game. Put these in perspective. First quarter, your New England Patriots held the ball for 10 minutes and 46 seconds. That's pretty damn good. Almost 11 minutes time of possession, dominated. Second quarter, 6 minutes and 33 seconds. Okay, you know, things are going to balance out. It happens. Third quarter, 4 minutes and 30 seconds. Oh, this seems to be becoming an issue, becoming concerning. Seems like the other team has the ball a lot, Fitzy. Fourth quarter, 2 minutes and 50 seconds. Yikes. The time of possession fell off the map. And then, as you would realize, there's the comparison of 4 minutes and 14 seconds for the Bills in the first quarter, 8 minutes, 27 seconds in the second, 10 minutes and 30 seconds in the third, and 12 minutes and 10 seconds in the fourth. The Bills started to hold on to the ball, keep the ball. Patriots couldn't keep the ball. And I know if you're a close listener, passionate fan, you'll say, well, you know, those numbers are flawed because Travion Henderson had a 65-yard touchdown run on the first play of a possession. You might have held the ball for 10 minutes. Coulda, shoulda, woulda, mighta, oughta, didn't. What happened was you couldn't get off the field on defense, Fitzy, and you couldn't stay off the field on offense. So let's start there. What's more concerning? The way the offense kind of put the ball away and went home and couldn't score other than one big play from Travion Henderson, or the way the defense couldn't make a play really anywhere, but certainly in the red zone?
Even with the continued absence of Milton Williams and the surprise sudden absence of Robert Spillane yesterday, whose value also cannot be understated both this offseason and on the field this season, it has to be the defense. You can't allow the other team to score score touchdowns on five consecutive drives and consider yourself a playoff team. No, a championship caliber football team. This harkens back to the days of 4 or 5 years ago when the Patriots would routinely get absolutely trounced by the Bills and not be able to make Josh Allen punt all day. Josh Allen, you let him take a moment to go run back in the locker room, put on the super suit, and absolutely take you to task and make you his blank yesterday. The offense fell apart. I expect Drake May. He was too good for too long, almost too perfect even. And there were some mistakes made along the way, but none of them really made them pay so dearly. I expect him to have a learning curve. I expect this defense to do and be better. The defense has to be the most concerning element to the team.
So the Bills ran 46 plays in the second half. You ran 18. If you take away the Henderson run, the 65-yard run, which I got a little over my skis there with Drake May leading the way down the field with a high screen. I thought that was his MVP visual moment. Not only does he throw the ball and score touchdowns, but he's going to out-hustle everybody to block for his teammate. And it coulda, shoulda, woulda, mighta, oughta been, but wasn't because they lost the game and he sucked later. Yes, Dan Ball?
Yeah, we're using the term block pretty loosely on that, right?
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, as Vrabel said, high screen. Just get in the way. Good hustle.
Mild disruption, maybe?
Yes, and then as Vrabel said, I'd prefer he not trip and fall down and maybe get hurt on tripping and falling down. But the hustle was there. The heart was there. I just thought that was like a, you know, Larry Bird diving and sliding on the floor, trying to grab the ball, coming right towards the camera. I thought this was one of those.
There was a picture in there somewhere. There was, you know how every house in Boston of a sports fan has the Bobby Orr diving photo? There was a Travion scoring as he was laying his version of a block photo in there somewhere.
And then just like Mike Vrabel with Antonio Gibson week two against Miami, we've had iconic images galore this season.
And then he's laying on the ground like fingers pointing while he's still laying down as Travion scores. That was a moment. The problem was it lasted only a moment. And it didn't continue, and the Bills continued to do what they needed to do to win the football game. But as I said, if you take away the Travion Henderson 65 rushing yards, you had 47 passing yards and 5 rushing yards with 3 sacks and 1 first down in the second half. You couldn't move the football. You couldn't stay on the field. Drake May didn't look great. Now, whether that was after that hit where it seemed to he landed on his elbow or whatever, we can ask him about that when we talk to him later in the show, whether this was an opportunity. Fitzy, right? Fool's gold has been thrown around for both the team and the quarterback. This was an opportunity to prove this is no fool's gold. I can go toe-to-toe with Josh Allen. I can come back in the fourth quarter. He came up short. Is that a fair assessment, or is that a cherry-picking situational assessment?
Oh, no. That's a very fair assessment. You took the ball early. You scored. Your defense didn't allow a score. You ran up a 24-7 lead by halftime. You went into the locker room at the half with the ball in your hand, playing some of your bets like you were running that court. And then you allowed your big brother to come out, steal the ball, score, have the ball come back to him, and never basically give it back to you. Like, you just got showed up at the neighborhood court by everyone. You were talking a big game. You were ready to show everybody that you could beat your big brother. And then your big brother showed you up in front of everybody yesterday.
And obviously the defense is hand-in-hand playing anti-complimentary football there. And that's my biggest concern.
Degenerative, as one caller reminded us yesterday.
Degenerative football, just destroying this team because we had talked about, oh, it's a top five defense. I mean, a top 10 defense in both points and yards. That unit didn't show up. And maybe you're right. Maybe I underestimated that Robert Spillane is the most important player on the planet because your middle linebacker was active but did not play with that foot injury. He didn't come on the field. He was only going to come on the field in emergency situations, to which I would ask Coach Vrabel, what exactly does an emergency look like? 5 straight touchdowns from the opponent doesn't feel like an emergency as you're blowing a 24-7 lead, but that was part of this story. You were undermanned in the middle of the front of your defense, and that unit kind of got embarrassed by the reigning NFL MVP. And I think that's a huge concern. The red zone, Ted's not here today, but I know Ted would be ranting and raving about the red zone. 83% on red zone defense, and you were only that good because of a kneel down. You really sucked and gave them a touchdown every time they had a chance. So the wheels fell off. The one thing I will say, Fitzy, if you want me to be positive about some of this stuff is...
Hey, you listen, you choose who you want to be.
You can't have any finger pointing in that locker room. I think we can fairly criticize the coaching, the special teams, the offense, and the defense. So, you know, Spider-Man meme, if you guys want to point, just point at everybody because everybody in that locker room contributed to the losing effort.
No one had an answer. You couldn't. This is sort of what I want to get to when we get to the player interviews after 3:30 today on the show. Like, did anyone take charge of trying to be the person that had an answer that was able to wake the offense or defense up? Like, yeah, if the offense got the ball back and was able to hold on to it a little longer, great. But you could clearly see they didn't do their job. Drake looked like he suddenly went from being able to cherry pick his spots and distribute evenly and freely to like he was 9 of 10, then he finished 14 of 23, which means he only completed 5 of his last 13 pass attempts. Like that's not MVP level. You know, I'm sure he doesn't care that he saw himself slip in the MVP rankings yesterday, because a win is better, and obviously chasing the number one seed and getting a playoff spot for your home fans, even better. But everything about this game across the entire football rainbow was alarming from the start of the second half on.
And I think if we're going to be fair, we have to say Midas lost his touch, right? We've talked about Mike Vrabel being Midas. Everything he touches and does turns to gold. They were ready for this game. The bye week was not an issue. We can't complain they lost any momentum in the bye week. They went out there. They went up 14-0, 24-7. The start was great. But what the hell happened? Was that the worst halftime speech ever given? Did he tell them to take the rest of the day off and just coast to the finish line?
Like, all right, guys, we're good. But this has been an issue. I can't believe people gave me all the guff they did for saying things over the last couple weeks. Like, how come the Patriots can't, you know, don't finish things off in the second half? Why don't they beat these teams by 30? Where's the death stroke they have? None of it. And yesterday, they had a 17-point lead. Don't just try to hold on for dear life. Make it a 24 or a 30-point lead if you can. So I feel like, Andy, do you feel like in a lot of ways, some of the warning signs, trouble spots, etc., that you have been seeing over the last several weeks, if not months, regarding this team as they went on their 10-game win streak, some of the issues that we sort of, you know, some of the check engine lights that we ignored, the indicators on the dashboard,
yeah,
they lit up and we ignored them for a while. Yeah. You feel like they finally came home to roost yesterday?
Yeah, or the recall notice you got in the mail 3 times and you didn't take it to the dealership to get that new fuel pump, and now, well, your car's not pumping the fuel it needs to move. No, there's certainly some of that, and that's where I told you post-game, Fitzy. 617-779-7937. We're going to get to your calls momentarily. I told you that whole idea that Mike Vrabel proclaimed, we're going to learn in victory so we don't have to learn in defeat, is awesome. Doesn't it sound great? Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's realistic. I don't know if you can do that. I think human nature takes over it. Yeah. Like, oh, yeah, it's really going to cost us. We've won 10 in a row. We beat Buffalo in Buffalo. We beat Tampa in Tampa. We haven't lost on the road. Sure, coach, we'll get it better, coach. I think the team may have needed this. And, you know, we'll hear from Steph Diggs later. He talked about this could be a good thing. And we've heard other teams say that. Sometimes they need wake-up calls before the end of the season or before the playoffs. And maybe there's some truth to that. But there's definitely been some issues trending in the wrong direction with this football team over the course of time. And we'll get to some of those. Steph Diggs, the receiver play, the run defense. Those things have all been trending in the wrong direction, and they bit you in the bum yesterday. 617-779-7937. As I said, let's get a couple phone calls in here early. Let's go to Jim in Upton. What's up, Jim?
Hey, how you guys doing today? Hey. Well, so it's very obvious to me, as a former Marine with a lot of cold weather operation background, Drake May was not dressed for the weather. Compare him to Josh Allen. Josh Allen is prepared for the weather, and he played like it. May was warm in the first half, came out cold from that warm locker room, goes sleeveless, and that's like the worst thing you could possibly do. There's no way a body can perform at a high level when you're frozen to death.
All right, thanks for the call, Jim. He went short sleeves. We've talked about that. That is a thing in football where you're kind of sending a message, setting a tone by going short sleeves. Although, I don't know if I first of all, Jim, thanks for your service, and I trust your expertise in that area in terms of prepping for the environment and all that.
You've shoveled. You've plowed the driveway before. You know, like, if you get out there early, you're aggressive, you get after it, and then you're like, oh, I got to take a phone call or grab a cup of coffee. Come back out, you're like, ooh, S-word. It got real cold out.
Yeah, I feel like that's revisionist history, that we're looking back at the end result and then trying to make the factors in the game fit our narrative. For example, you remember when Donovan McNabb threw up on the field in the Super Bowl?
Hey, I'm old enough to remember Josh Allen throwing up yesterday.
And did that affect him? Because it looked like Josh Allen was just fine yesterday. So normally when you throw up as a quarterback, we mock you and say, you threw up all over yourself, literally and figuratively. Guess what? He did it literally and figuratively. It was not an issue. He whooped your ass. He was the best player on the field. So sometimes we make the visuals or the factors fit our nice little narrative.
Yeah, they got reminded what a championship caliber effort is like. They got reminded yesterday what it's going to take to make the playoffs. They got reminded what elimination games, or at least hat and t-shirt playoff games, are all about. They got reminded their big brother's not going anywhere. They got reminded that this rivalry has really only just begun anew. And they got reminded that until they wrest the title from Buffalo's cold, dead, or at least cold, unreliable Western New York hands, it's theirs. Things don't come easy, especially in football in the AFC East. Fact.
All right, let's go to Gus in Manchester, New Hampshire. What's up, Gus?
Gus Bus.
Hey, I was just calling to say I kind of agree with what Diggs said yesterday about it's good that they got the loss out of the way. Fire under their butt. And then that second half, like you said earlier, how they kind of let the foot off the gas, give them the motivation to kind of keep it in for the whole game and put up those big scores like you were saying.
Thanks for the call, Gus. Yeah, I think this could be a wake-up call. Absolutely. The question I have is it just a wake-up call for a talented football team that earned its 11-2 record? Or, I never thought I'd say this, was there some truth with the haters? Was some of the fool's gold accurate? Do you have some personnel issue problems, some scheme problems, some area of your team that we thought they were just not great? Are they fatal flaws? And first and foremost, you would point to, I think, is red zone defense. Is that becoming a fatal flaw of this football team?
Becoming? They can't. As soon as you get in the red zone, the red carpet gets rolled out. The paparazzi show up. There's people popping, you know, Dom Perignon and pour, you know, filling your flute on your way into the 6-point house. I mean, witness the worst of all yesterday, Andy. You know, Vrabel was wrong saying this morning that the Bills didn't get any holding calls against them yesterday. It's the offense with the most holding calls. They did get one, which backed them up out of the 10 to the super red area, if you will, back to like the 15-yard line, third and goal from the 14 or 15, and Dawson Knox is wide open in it. Like, can't happen. That's a you got to get it back moment. You got given a gift and you spit it up.
617-779-7937. You know the number. That's the number. You're going to hear a busy tone, but we're going to take your calls all afternoon talking about this Patriots game. Let's squeeze one more call in before we get to Dan Ball and his trending update. Let's go to John in the truck. What's up, John?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, John.
I don't think that Drake May deserves very much of the blame pie from yesterday. You know, with that scramble that he had down the middle for that 30-yard run and then throwing that great block downfield during the run, I don't know how the defense didn't rally around that and say, listen, our quarterback's throwing harder hits out there than we are today. So that defense, they didn't hit the way they did in the game where they knocked that quarterback on his ass on the sideline. They didn't have that yesterday. That was missing. That's what Vrabel needs to work on. That's what he's going to get back on his team.
Thanks for the call, John. So physicality, the more physical team was the Bills. That's a problem. You couldn't bully the Bills like you did the Giants and Jackson Dart a couple of weeks ago on Monday night. Yes, it is.
But the defense did give you an opportunity to go and score and win the game.
Yeah, they also gave the Bills many, many opportunities to go score and win the game. In fact, every time they basically touched the football. But you're right.
Yes, it is.
I think if you didn't watch the very end of the game, you would say Drake May is not on the hook. But you know what? He's going to be a $60 million quarterback, right? What did Adam Schefter say? $60, $65, $70 million
year? Maybe $70 million quarterback. And Andy, if I told you before the game, Stiz, same to you, you know, with your, you know, maybe putting a little wager on the game. If I told you, okay, Patriots are scoring 31 points in this game, what are you doing?
Stiz?
Winning the game.
Yeah, I thought you would have said betting on the Patriots, winning the game. Yeah, they scored 31 points against Buffalo. That's 8 more than they scored in the previous effort. I bet you 9 out of 10 Pats fans would have said, oh, we're taking it home. It's a hat and T-shirt day.
Yeah, because you had that whole, this team always scores more than 23 and gives up less than 23.
Lot of streaks came to a grinding halt yesterday. Huh?
Gave up more than 23 in the second half alone.
But that's why I think it's more disappointing. Sorry, I know we got to go to trending. But that's why I think it's more disappointing, Andy, than your letting on, because you're right. The Bills, you know, are one of the best teams in the league, but we were up that much. You know what I mean? So all you had to do was hold on and keep playing the way you were playing, and you failed.
This was a tug and war. Boy, did they get rope burned, because the Bills were just ripping it through their hands, and that flag crossed over. You fell into the pit, and you're a bunch of losers.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.